Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and we're down a man, but we got John here to talk about the preview against Chattanooga. Illinois plays them tomorrow night, 7:30, Big Ten Network, night game. Students will be there. I know they've sold at least 8,000 tickets for the game, so should be a pretty good crowd on hand, despite a midweek action. But we got to talk about being a man down, right?
Yeah, I feel like Mikey's body might be physically in Chicago, but his soul and his spirit might still be in Arizona.
We had a scheduling snafu yesterday, and then Mikey also let us know that he was running on 1 hour of sleep.
He's just been perpetually running on 1 hour of sleep the entire week, and I believe it.
No, he was playing hurt or injured, so we told him to sleep it off, but he didn't give us his picks before he dozed off. So, you know, when we get to the end of the show and we start doing our picks and Mikey's specific stat of the week, it might actually be hijacked by whatever John and I decide that to be. So that's something to look forward to here. But let's hop right into Chattanooga, FCS school.
SoCon's finest.
I feel like in years past, a game like this scares me. Now,
yeah.
I don't know that I feel that way this year, just based off how things have gone so far. I know we're 2-1, so the record's not without a blemish, but I think the manner in which we've played and, you know, just the eye test so far, I've been pretty surprised and, you know, pleasantly surprised, I guess I'll call it, that, you know, we've looked very competent throughout, regardless of, you know, a 2-1 record. So a team like Chattanooga, I know they're going to be feisty and they're going to want to, you know, prove themselves against an FBS school like Illinois, but I'm not as scared. And that's famous last words coming from me, just saying I'm not scared of a team like Chattanooga this year.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have a very limited sample size of Brett Bielema in terms of like these kind of, we'll call them trap games for lack of a better term.
Trap game.
You got to put it in there. I mean, this is a classic trap game spot. You got the look ahead spot to Wisconsin next week, the revenge game.
Yep.
So then you got the FCS opponent that you could overlook. I mean, last year, what I obviously took care of business against Charlotte, even though that got a little dicey there for the first half, but ultimately taking care of business. It seems like everything thus far, you know, whether it be, let's just say it's like the multiple weeks of preparation thing, whether it be start of the season or after a bye week, all the signs have pointed to, you know, an upward swing for a Brett Bielema coach team. So even though, yeah, I do think, you know, it kind of screams letdown spot. I don't really know if I believe that hype. I think you hear Coach B talking in some press conferences and he's saying that, you know, everyone else can think what they want to think, but, you know, they're not overlooking anyone in that room. And although I generally tend to believe that that might not be true because, I mean, you can say that, but are the guys in the room, like, they're aware of what's going on outside,
right?
Like they know what the outside perception is. Now it is their choice to believe that or not. And then, you know, that's why you might start off with a little bit of a lull, but I do think that he'll have them, you know, focused and ready to go.
If I'm Brett Bielema, here's my weird brain Dan coming into play. I'm putting on the tape of the NCAA tournament Illinois basketball against Chattanooga and showing them, hey, look, yes, this school is an FCS school, but I mean, they took the basketball team down to the wire in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I think it was 54-53, and it took like a Coleman Hawkins block and a missed contested jumper at the end of the game to get out of there with a win. So it might be a weird move, but I almost feel like you'd show something like that and be like, look, these guys aren't the little sisters of the poor. They might put up a fight. So that's my weird brain move if I'm in the coaching seat this week.
Yeah, revenge game for them too for their basketball program. So it's just a cavalcade of cliches in this matchup. But I think when you kind of look into it, you know, in terms of just like the overall point of like I went back and looked at all the week three action in terms of FCS versus FBS opponents, and there were 22 games. And do you have a guess in terms of the win-loss record of the FCS versus FBS opponents?
I would say FBS schools are 19-3 against FCS schools.
They were 21-1. Can you guess who that one loss was? Just think about Go Cats.
Dude, I don't even know. I mean, I know SIU, Go Cat.
SIU absolutely dog.
Oh, that's what it was.
Northwestern.
Okay. I was thinking that Northwestern played Duke, but that was 2 weeks ago. So my brain's shot here, but okay.
I can't attest that Danny didn't know about this because Robert almost got super pissed in a group text for almost jinxing.
I almost jinxed that.
Danny would have eaten his hat.
I would have. I said that, and then I was like, oh, 14 points with 4 minutes left. No chance. No chance Northwestern's doing this. And then Northwestern marched down, scored a touchdown, cut it to one score, but weren't able to get the onside kick. So I was holding on to my hat with dear life.
Yep. But so that was the only win of an FCS team versus an FBS team last week. And obviously that's just a 1 week sample, but a pretty big sample in and of itself. But the FCS schools were 7-14-1 against the spread. So that means they covered, you know, seven games of the 22. And that's not necessarily a bad percentage, but I think I was a lot more scared because you get those publicized, you know, either upsets or close scores where it's like Missouri State was beating Arkansas for a couple quarters or yep. something like that. And but that's kind of like in its own little vacuum because of Petrino coming back to Arkansas. And so it's like, okay, that's its own little thing. But I think when I like having that knowledge, because I was like initially kind of scared, like you were saying, like this reads kind of like a trap spot.
Yep.
But now I'm kind of like, I don't really know. Like even just looking then and in the micro sense, so that was kind of the macro in terms of the micro. I don't really know if UTC really has it because they're kind of vanilla all across the board.
Yeah. I mean, there is a reason that there's FBS and FCS. There's obviously a talent discrepancy, but you think of like Chattanooga. I had to look this up on a map, but like Chattanooga is pretty close to Atlanta. They're pretty close to being in a hotbed of, you know, good high school football, good football in general. So you get kids from Alabama, you get kids from Georgia, you get kids from Tennessee. That's the kind of what the majority of what comprises their roster. So you're going to have some talent. Now there's going to be deficiencies, but depending on, you know, what their coaching staff, Rusty Wright, I believe is his name, the head coach, which is just, it's just a good clean name right there. But if he's able to, you know, get the right pieces clicking together, they're going to have some talent. They're not just some high school team that's running into Champaign here. So, you know, we'll see what they're able to bring to the table. But I think, you know, Illinois, you're expected to win this game. We were looking up earlier. The Vegas lines are like Illinois, what, an 18-point favorite?
18-point favorite, which is weird because the over-under, so like the total points that Vegas is estimating will be scored is 40. So if you're thinking about like that's a lot of points to be giving up in a very low total game.
Right.
But I don't really know if Chattanooga has it on offense. I shouldn't say that. Like just in general, both the offense and defense feel pretty vanilla.
Yep.
I know in Craig's article that was posted by Robert, but was Craig's scout, he was talking about how their defense is kind of like Iowa's. And although I get that and respect that, that just kind of means that, okay, they have a 6-man box, run against that all day long because your guys are better than their guys, like make them stack the box. And if they do, then throw it against them because you have better athletes on the outside. It just reads like a lot of, you know, 4 to 6 yard rush plays that, you know, you wear them down. And then in the second half, then, you know, Chase Brown is going off for like a 40 yard run, or you get Reggie Love or Aiden Loffery some tick and they go off as well. It's just, I don't know. Like I know that, you know, it's any given Saturday. That's why you play the games. And I'm not even like that overconfident, but just like when you look at all of it, it's just, oh yeah, like I understand why the line is 18. Like they should probably win by a couple scores.
Like you said, I mean, you and I were both watching Chattanooga tape. I pulled the Eastern Illinois Chattanooga game. That's how deep in the weeds we get sometimes. But I'm sitting there watching Chattanooga play Eastern Illinois. First thing I noticed, like you said, 6-man box. And they didn't really change that up all that much. It was pretty much stock 6-man box the whole time. Now, if they do that against Illinois, Chase Brown's running for 700 yards. Like, they're not going to be able to stop Chase Brown. And, you know, our offensive line's done a pretty good job run blocking for him this year so far. So if they don't show us a little wrinkle or a different defensive set, like if they just go 6 in the box, they're going to get steamrolled by Illinois. So I doubt they stay 6-man box the whole game, that 4-2-5. So we'll see what they show us, but it's whatever they're going to show us is not what they're typically used to running. So, you know, on that note, I'm pretty confident the run game will be established, as the boys like to say.
Yeah. It'll be a good benchmark too, because like in that Wyoming game, you know, we talked about it. They had like, what, their average weight was like 270 pounds or something like that.
Yep.
And we're averaging like 315 across the board, 6'5", 6'6", 315. And it's like, they kind of didn't do too well against that Wyoming defensive front.
No, they struggled for a while.
Yeah, they ran the ball effectively, but did they run it as well as they could have? No.
So this would be dominant.
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't as dominant as you would think. And Chase Brown is a beast who can mask a lot of deficiencies in that way. So it'll be good to see if it's more of the same of like, oh yeah, it's just kind of Chase Brown doing his thing and turning a 3 yard gain into a 7 yard gain and a 7 yard gain into a 20 yard gain, like those kind of things. So that'll be like to see the mesh and the progression of the offensive line unit. This would be a good, you know, benchmark as well.
Yep. Yeah. I'm excited to see us hopefully put up some points. We've obviously played incredible defense and our offense has kind of lacked a little bit. I think we're ranked 100th out of 130 teams in our Bill Connolly SP Plus projections on the offensive side of the ball, and we're a top 25 defense. I think we're 25th now after the bye week. We fell a couple spots, but we're still in the top 25 on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, offense needs to step it up if we want to kind of take that next step. So I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Okay. I got a question for you, Danny. If you, let's say you're on the Cardinals, you know, we're putting you on your favorite MLB team.
Okay.
And you're out there, you're playing, you're utility man, you're playing outfield, you get the start that day and Waino's on the bump and he's, you know, he's got a shutout going. He's actually not only just a shutout, but he's got a perfect game going. Are you saying, are you and the guys talking to him in the dugout at all? You saying anything about it? You playing free and easy, trying to keep him relaxed, or are you just letting him be?
I mean, how late in the game are we talking?
We're talking like seventh inning. Like you're coming out for the seventh inning.
Not at the seventh inning. I would be the guy who he, you know, retires him 1, 2, 3 in the first inning. I'm like, hey, no hitter through one here. But if it's getting that close to the end, I think it's like the unwritten rule. You just kind of let the guy be. You don't want to be the guy that says something and then he messes it up, because
what about the fourth or fifth inning?
Where do I draw the line? I think it's still funny in like the fourth inning to say something about a no-hitter, because it's still so early to be calling a no-hitter. Once it's like the fifth into the sixth, that's when it becomes kind of a real thing. So I'd say fourth innings, like where the joke is fourth to fifth innings where the joke becomes a reality, and then you just can't say anything at that point. You gotta, like I said, you don't want to be the one guy who goes up, tries to be funny or, you know, keep them loose, and then he goes, gives up a hit, because then everyone's gonna be looking at you like, hey, why'd you do that?
Okay.
What would you do?
Well, see, I'm just trying to gauge, because, you know, leading off that or playing off that point that you made about the defense being a top 25 unit, they also haven't allowed a touchdown in Champaign yet.
Uh-oh. So you're gonna be the guy to say it.
I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe we're going to the game tomorrow. Maybe we're tweeting something out about it. Maybe we're trying to get that mojo riding. But also just as a meme, it's not necessarily that serious. Right. I'm not trying to say I'm trying to jinx it, but just bringing awareness to the fact that there's this kind of cool stat. And I don't think I should get, you know, crucified or slandered if I happen to bring up a really cool stat that then happens to be lost against, you know, UT Chattanooga. I'm sorry, but
I guess we got to determine what inning we're in then. For that
stat. That's kind of why I was wondering. I don't think we're in the seventh inning. Like, I think you're right in the sense, like, you don't say anything, you let the guy be, you let him, if he's, you know, trying to be loose, then you can be loose with him, but if he's zoned in, then you let him do his thing. I don't think we're at that point yet.
That's just this year we haven't in Champaign.
Yeah,
so home games. 8 quarters so far.
Yep.
Okay, so that's like third inning. That's like start of the third inning, so we're good. I think we're good to say it.
Okay, good,
so we can voice that.
Yep. So we can talk about it. And also we can talk about how, like, watching their offense, the Chattanooga offense, it's kind of reminds me of like your standard, like, high school or video game offense, where it's just like, okay, standard four wide, like they're all same splits, or they're like one tight end and two split receivers and one slot receiver and like shotgun. It's just like, it feels obviously very clean, but also very vanilla. Like, okay, like, how are you going to beat a Ryan Walters defense? You probably need to do something a little bit more creative. Look last year at Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia and how they absolutely pantsed us. Like, I don't really think I'm that scared of like your standard spread offense.
No,
not that it won't, it could, it can be effective, but there should be easy counters to some of the looks they show.
In Ryan Walters, we trust.
Exactly. Exactly. We trust him to continue the streak. And if he doesn't, then hey, it's fine, because this is so early in the season. It doesn't even matter, Danny. It just doesn't matter. And we're not jinxing it right now. But if later in the season, then maybe we stop the bit.
This is phase two. I know it's kind of the schedule sectioned off into three different, I guess, trimesters or whatever weeks. We want to call them. We had the three games to start. Now we have four, right? And then we have another bye week. And then do we finish it off with five more? Or is it 3-5-4? I don't know where the bye week falls for the second one. I know it's like sectioned off. So this is the start of season two. And I expect season two to be more challenging.
Right. 3-4-5.
3-4-5. Okay. But I expect season two, you know, the second piece of the schedule here, to be a little more challenging. You know, hopefully we come out of here unscathed than the non-conference schedule. We talked about the little blemish to Indiana. You put that behind you, and then Chattanooga, then Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, then you get your bye again. So Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota as your next three Big Ten games is going to be tough. But it would be nice to start off here, you know, this little four-game season two with a victory, get you up to 3-1, and then you go really test yourself, you know, in that revenge game up in Madison.
Yeah, I think it's just as simple as looking at it. You know, I know a lot of people were upset after the Indiana game, and it would be great to have the potential to go 4-0 after this game, but obviously you need to, one, go out there and take care of business and secure going 3-1, but two, then giving that appreciation to, like, if you had talked to people before the season or even after last year, even though it ended on a very high note to Northwestern, I think a lot of people would be looking at, okay, you know, you're starting off and you might start 2-2, and that would be good, but 3-1 would be amazing, just because I think people were still having visions of Virginia of last year. But regardless, it will be obviously a success to that first, you know, portion of the season if you go 3-1. Then you just take your shots in Big Ten play. And I think, I mean, having four Big Ten wins last year in the Brett Bielema offense, I'm not trying to get out ahead of my skis, but just like that's something that I used to kind of anchor myself and like, okay, this is not something to like get scared or like, you know, okay, this might be our last chance to get a win. I don't know, but you still need to, you can't overlook it. I mean, we can, because we're not playing the games. We might be at the game, but we're not playing in it. But you know, making sure that the guys are focused, sure, Coach B will take care of that. And then, you know, go out there 3-1, have a good feeling in your heart, and then go out there and you get ready for a Big Ten play and try and get that bowl berth.
Got to have it. The march to six wins. This is a...
Continues, yeah.
This is just as important of a win as any other win on the schedule. So you need to have this one. I was doing my research on the Chattanooga roster. They're going to be a pretty young team. They play a lot of sophomores, a lot of redshirt sophomores, a couple freshmen. But as I was digging through the roster, I come across wide receiver Jamar Quant of the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Thomas in particular. But I'm like, okay, I got to look this place up, right? What's this place all about? They have three high schools on the entire island.
How do you play high school football?
His high school didn't even have a football team. They had a flag football team. What? So I'm like, oh, how does this kid play football?
Exactly.
So not only did he, you know, grow up, go to high school in the Virgin Islands, then he went to college at a place called Naropa University.
I couldn't tell you where that is if you gave me like 1,000 guesses.
I thought that had to have been made up. So I Googled Naropa University. Like, what is this place? It's a school in Colorado that has like 1,000 students. They don't have an athletics program. So this kid
How
went
this
from
guy playing college football?
I don't know. I need some journalist to like interview this kid and figure out how he got to play college football, because at best he was playing flag football in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Do you say in the islands or on the island?
I think on the island. I think he's on the island? Well, he's in the islands when he's playing football, but I think he's on the islands when you're referring to where he's, I don't know.
Regardless, he was playing flag football there, somehow got to a university in the U.S. that didn't have an athletics program. So, you know, he's not playing football there. And then maybe he transferred to Chattanooga and then just like tried out one day and they're like, hey, you're maybe fast and like we can use you on our team. And then they're just gonna like teach him how to play. He played a few snaps over, like, I think he's played in two games so far this year, but minimal snaps. He's probably like the seventh wide receiver in the rotation. But Jamar Quant, that's a story I need someone to do some digging on, because U.S. Virgin Islands to Naropa University to Chattanooga. That was my Danny's deep dive of the week.
Well, he's someone to key in on if he gets on the field.
Jamar Quant from the U.S. Virgin Islands. I want to like DM this kid right now and ask him like, how do you play football?
Are we starting his fan club? I don't even think anyone like the UT Chattanooga like fan base is gonna has done enough this research.
Dude, I was Twitter searching him. I was Googling him, and like, there's two reports where they even mention his name, and one of it just says this kid from the U.S. Virgin Islands, but it doesn't go into any detail. Just mentioned that he made the roster, and there was one that was like wishing him a happy birthday from the Chattanooga football account. So this guy, Jamar Quant, that's about as impressive as it gets, though. Not ever play. Could you ever like think any sport you could play in college? Is there any sport you can think of where you could have not played that sport in its like true form your entire life and then just show up and be like, okay, now I'm a college athlete? Maybe like track and field, if somehow like I never ran it competitively, but you're just like naturally fast.
Naturally fast. That's the only thing.
But there's not as much like skill to that
pure
as
pure sport.
Yeah. Darts.
I don't know, man.
No, like, that's all muscle memory. There's nothing
football,
I can think of.
That's like picking up golf as like a,
it's impossible.
Like a, you're just like, all right, I'm just going to try out for the UT Chattanooga golf team, and then it's like, wait, this guy can actually swing the club. It's like, how?
That's impossible. No one just picks up
like
a golf club and is good.
It's like a mini. It would be like if the U.S. Virgin Islands only had mini golf courses, and then he came to the States, didn't even golf his freshman year, and transferred to UT Chattanooga, and then just started like picking up golf.
Exactly.
And they're just like, all right, this guy can.
Exactly. He was like a top golf legend. Or mini golf, or some it was like virtual golf. He played on a simulator his whole life.
He played on his phone.
Yeah, he played Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12.
He's like, guys, I'm really sick. I will say, if there is going to be one touchdown scored on the defense, so we kind of tie it all together. If we're going to break the streak,
I'm rooting for Jamar Quant on a backdoor touchdown.
If there's one man to do it, I'll be happy, and I won't eat my hat or anything like that. If he does it. You know what? I'll be standing up clapping as long as we're winning like 40 to nothing.
Yep.
And then he scores.
I was going to say it can't actually matter. I mean, it does matter for your stat. You said at the beginning that we haven't allowed a touchdown in Memorial Stadium. So maybe like a touchdown that gets called back by some stupid penalty.
Mm. Yeah.
So keep it off the board. Like, we know he really caught it.
We know.
Yeah.
Like a ticky tack penalty. Yep.
And then I do have one other deep dive. And this one's pretty quick and basic, but Chattanooga, their mascot or their name is the Mox. Do you have any idea what that's all about?
Moccasins, maybe. I don't know. That's where my brain goes to.
It's a good guess. Because
little footboys.
It was the moccasins. But again, as I feel like every team so far we've done this deep dive on has had some sort of Native American backstory to it. Yes. It was a Native American riding in a moccasin shoe. As like, it almost looked like a boat. That was kind of their mascot. 1990s, they decided, hey, that's probably not cool. Smart move by them. It's not cool. So
they got out ahead of it, yeah.
Creative change by them. Instead of just going to something different, they shortened it to mock or mocks, and they just decided, okay, we're going to just choose a mocking bird so that we can stay as the mock. So now their mascot is like a mocking bird. Scrappy the mocking bird.
That's some good creativity.
Yeah. I'm kind of impressed that they were able to do that, like shorten it. And everyone's just like, oh, it's just a mockingbird. That's what Mox is. They named the actual mascot, the bird itself. It's like a blue, like psycho looking bird. Don't Google a picture. You guys should actually Google it. Don't Google a picture of the Chattanooga mockingbird named Scrappy, because he's a psycho looking bird. But he was named after one of their legendary coaches was named AC Scrappy something. They just called him Coach Scrappy, and they just decided like, oh, we should just name the birds after him. So Scrappy the mockingbird is now the mascot, but that's the origin. That's the backstory of the Chattanooga Mocs.
Gotta love it.
That's the bonus Danny's Deep Dive of the week.
So we're missing, you know, one host, but we're getting an extra deep dive.
We got to make up for Mike. You got to fill the stale air.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we won't get into a Mikey specific stat. Maybe we won't try our hand because we gave the extra.
I think you and I just create one for him.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Mikey's specific stat of the week presented by Dan and John. But let's brainstorm a player of the week for him first, like a pick of the week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's say, you know, Mikey has an affection for wide receivers, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's always a good place to start. Pat Bryant, he selected Pat Bryant earlier in the year, so let's not do him.
And Casey Washington.
Casey Washington he picked. So.
He wouldn't go with Lil Uno because.
No, we can't. That's an obvious.
It's too basic.
So, what do you think? Hank Beatty?
I think I'm going Hank Beatty.
We're going Hank Beatty for Mikey this week. Mm-hmm. Mikey's pick of the week, Hank Beatty, specific stat.
It's time for Mikey's specific stat of the week.
Four catches, 57 yards, and two stiff arms.
Two diving catches.
Yeah.
Diving catch. One spectacular diving catch.
Five catches, nine hands used.
Just juggling it to himself. How do you have nine hands used?
I mean, in totality, like he caught it with two hands.
Oh, you're saying one-handed catch.
And then one-handed catch.
My brain's operating slowly here. I got you. You're saying, okay. Or a three-handed catch and a couple one-handed catches.
I don't know. Yeah, him and the defensive back are just, I don't know, man. I think you're taking this to a way too deep of a place.
He juggles it to himself. He bobbles it, and that's like four hands on the ball. Then he has a couple one hands.
Catch the ball at the same time and carry it into the end zone.
All right, official Mikey specific stat. Let's just say one spectacular diving catch for Hank Beatty.
Yep. He likes to keep it pretty bland, although specific.
All right, your pick of the week.
Oh, man.
You going offense or defense?
I'm going to go offense. I'm going to go Tommy DeVito.
No, you stole him. I was going Tommy DeVito.
Shouldn't have given me the... I guess with Mikey gone, there's no hold guard. My suspension's been lifted. I'm free to fire off all these live bullets. I'm just taking him because this is the game where I know that, you know, like we said, Craig called them like the Iowa-like defense.
Yeah.
And that usually means like, you know, soft zones. You have to take what they're given. But that reason is why I want to see Tommy try and, you know, not press, but push the ball down the field. Like he still needs to take the opportunities to find those intermediate to long zone holes and hit those. Like you still need to be able to push the ball down the field, show something on tape for Big Ten play so they have to respect that. So it's not just like what we saw with the Iowa offense where it's just, hey, we're going to stack the box and make you beat us with your quarterback, which, you know, I think Tommy DeVito is a better quarterback than Spencer Petras, but regardless, you still have to put enough on tape so that, you know, the Wisconsins, the Iowas, the Minnesotas, they have to respect that. So I'm looking for him to, you know, not be Tommy Happy Feet, you know, get heavy in his drop, push the ball down the field, and, you know, average more than just like 3 yards per target in the air.
All right. Well, you stole him from me, so you know I wanted him. But I guess I'll go with, since you guys both are offense, I'll think of a defensive guy. I think I'm just going to go Sidney Brown. Doesn't have that club on his hand, but this is a game where you got to eat. I want a couple interceptions from the secondary. I think I want Sidney to get one. His brother's been getting all the headlines, so I'm ready for him to have his breakout game here. So I'll go Sidney Brown. And then if I have just a specific stat of the week, because I wanted Tommy DeVito, I'll say my specific stat of the week is Tommy DeVito gets his first rushing touchdown this week. He hasn't had one yet, so we'll see.
And I'll say... since we're just like reversing or inverting, I'll say my one specific stat for Sidney Brown is he gets one tipped interception because he's just like always so close to those balls that you're tipped by D linemen or linebackers.
He's going to catch a deflection or he's going to deflect
it. He's going to catch a ball that was deflected. It's going to fall into his arms for a pick.
All right. There we go. Let's do. All right. We get to pick Mikey's game prediction too.
Are we giving Mikey his first loss?
Should we do it?
His career.
I feel like if he's never gonna say it, we have to say it for him. That would be hilarious. Just
the one FCS opponent.
I mean, the people want to see us say that Mikey's game prediction is Illinois loses in dramatic fashion. I'm thinking...
He wouldn't forgive us.
No, I think we got to do it. I think it's...
We'll split the decision. We'll call a mistrial.
Wait, here. You say Illinois' final score, how many points Illinois scores, and I'll say how many points Chattanooga scores, and we say it on three. Okay. And that'll determine what Mikey's pick is. All right. I got mine.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 22. 31-22. What a weird score. I was kind of hoping you'd say 21, just so it'd be a 1-point Chattanooga win.
That was a good game. Yeah, four tutties and a field goal. Hopefully not, a missed field goal in there, but just one attempt for one Caleb Griffin.
I'll say for me.
You got to keep the 22, and I got to keep the 31 in our base scores.
What am I going to do? I'll let you go. I'm brainstorming.
I'm going to go U of I at 31, Chattanooga 10. That is my
U of I 31, Chattanooga 10.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think the offense has the playmakers to really break out. I think Ryan Wolf is going to suffocate them, and it's just going to be a slow, methodical game with a couple Chase Brown gash plays that result in a couple tutties, sit on the ball in the second half, couple field goal tries. Actually, we'll just go two field goal tries, maybe like a 50 yarder.
Feels like such a basic prediction. I want to get weird. I'm doing the calculations in my head. It's
Danny
time.
Math. We need a sound dub if we could somehow put that sound as Galifianakis GIF in like sound form of him just with all the numbers around
the
him.
Formulas floating around his head. I'm thinking about this Thursday night, getting weird. Advantage Illinois, where we have those extra few days of prep, whereas Chattanooga's coming off. I think they played a Saturday game, so they lose a couple days of prep. So. That's at least 7.5, maybe rounded up to 8. Probably 8-point advantage for Illinois right there.
Yep.
Let's see what else. Night game in Champaign. The student tickets thing. That's at least like 2 points in Illinois' favor right there.
Okay.
Or maybe subtract some points from Chattanooga. I don't know.
How are we going with Chattanooga's sweet name convention and how many points that gives them? Like at least 1.5, right?
Nah. UTC doesn't do it for me, where they get like that abbreviation.
No, I'm player names. Oh. I mean, Chattanooga plus player names equals 2 points.
I think I have it. I'm gonna make a bold proclamation here. This is a weird and psycho prediction by me. Word of the day, psycho. 27-0 Illinois. Shut out, lights out, shut that place down.
Beep, beep.
I was almost going to give them 3 points, but Virginia got 3 points, and I want to be the guy that says that we're shutting them out because no one else is bold enough to make that prediction. But we give it to you straight here on the field pass.
I respect it. I don't know if we're respecting UT Chattanooga enough, but you know what? We'll have to see it. We'll get embarrassed live and in person tomorrow, so... We'll have to see for ourselves if they can get a touchdown.
For the record, I wanted to go even crazier and say like 37-0, but I thought that's bolder than bold. I'm curious to see what his Illini board stream of consciousness tonight is. He and I have been on a similar wavelength recently.
You're in his brain.
I have like a, I don't know, little spot Colonnades Club seats. You get the premium bathrooms. The, extra concessions. It's not all included, but that's where I'm sitting right now in Robert's brain.
Hope he says 37-0 just to spite you now.
That'd be so funny. Oh, all right. What else? What else we want to say? We'll be at the game.
Yeah. Making the nice little trek down. Thursday night football. You love to see it.
First game of the year for us. So far, we're undefeated when we've been at the game. So we're looking to keep that alive.
Yep. I was like, wait, no, we went to the Maryland game last year in Wisconsin. But no, I know what you're saying. In the calendar year 2022, we are undefeated.
Insert the Zach Galifianakis meme on John's head when he's thinking about what that means, that we're undefeated. All right. Anything? Chase Brown, he'll run for 700 yards. Isaiah Williams, he'll go for 100 plus.
You know Brett's going to keep the pedal on the gas for Chase to keep that lead in the nation for rush yards, because now that, you know, they've gotten the bye and everything's kind of equalized in terms of games played across the board, he's still leading the nation. So while you can still get healthy, you know, get him near another 200 yard game if you can, as quickly as you can.
All right. Illinois, Chattanooga, 7:30, Big Ten Network. John and I will be at the game. John, are you gonna be wearing your field pass shirt so everyone can say what's up?
Yeah, sure.
It's gonna be kind of cold.
Yeah, might need to wear an undershirt underneath. But if you want an autograph, I mean, you know that with Danny and I are the big draws of the field pass. You know, there's you know, maybe a former player, former freshman All-American. It's fine. If you want an autograph, we will gladly give you one.
We need like a secret word, so if someone sees us at the game and we know they listen to this, that's like a secret club.
You psycho.
What's up, you psychos? That's what you got to say to us. All right.
Yeah, that's what we'll know.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode. You can check us out online on social media at The Field Pass. We appreciate you for following along. As always, go Illini.